WDW for Families, the original family-friendly trip planning podcast, helping you plan your Disney vacation for over 5 years.
All right, welcome to WDW for Families. We are back with another show for you, and we've got our crew from last week is here again. This week we have Kristen. Kristen, you are here. How are things for you?
Things are great this week. Excited to be on the show again.
Okay. Don't act too excited, Kristen. You just take the excitement down a notch. All right, now.
I'm really excited. It's okay.
All right. Kevin, how are things in Texas?
Oh, well, goodness gracious, the last week has been phenomenal. And let me tell you why. Because I have had the sun past 3:30 in the afternoon all week this past week. And I know some people get really frustrated that they lose an hour of sleep, but I gain happiness. And it is phenomenal that I can actually go outside at 8 o'clock and still be able to see without a flashlight.
Amen. I am an afternoon runner. I like to run in the afternoons, and I don't like running in the dark. It's not fun. So this is great. This gives me another hour to run in the afternoon. Kev, Randy, how are you doing, sir?
I'm depressed.
Why are you depressed?
I just found out how much I'm going to owe my taxes. So.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh. But the good news is I'm 4 days away from a trip to Disney. So I'm hoping... that'll make me feel better.
Oh, man. That's funny. Oh, man. I haven't done my taxes yet, and I'm not looking forward to it. I am not looking forward to it. All right. Well, let's talk about this topic. We are going to be talking about deluxe hotels. Now, before you change that channel, before you turn us off, before you cut us off and start listening to another podcast, we're going to be talking about how you, the average Disney World person, can stay at a deluxe hotel. Because we always talk about the deluxe hotels. Several of us have stayed at several of the deluxe hotels. They're a really good experience. They're really fun. But sometimes they just seem a little out of reach and a little insane to pay for these deluxe resorts, especially now in this era of 2024. The prices are climbing up steadily. And so we want to give you tips on how you can experience the deluxes, because if you're a Disneyist or a Disney hobbyist like myself, I want to stay at every Disney hotel in my Disney career. I am down to, I think, three now I have not stayed at. So, but two are in this category. I really want to stay at every one. So we're going to give you tips on how to afford to stay in these hotels. And what I want you to do is we're going to kind of go backwards on you, because I know what everybody's answer is going to be. We're going to chime in. I want to go to Kevin Hackett first. Kevin's got probably the most obvious answer, I think. And we're going to start with him. So Kevin, why don't you start us off on how we can afford, how the average human can experience a deluxe resort at Disney World?
Well, I think the easiest thing is to just look at price. Goodness. I mean, there are some of them that are priced way higher than others. So just from a very practical standpoint, if we look at the deluxe hotels that are the least expensive, then those are going to be the most approachable as far as price goes and being able to stay long term. Two of those are going to be some that you probably don't necessarily consider deluxe, although Disney does, and that would be Old Key West. That's the cheapest. I'll tell you, they have the largest rooms of the deluxes as well. So something to be aware of. It's a very large resort, but it's got a cool feel to it. We've stayed there a few times and really, really like it. The other one would be Saratoga Springs. Those are two Disney Vacation Club resorts, but and very large, but those are probably the two cheapest. Now, if you want to talk about maybe the classic deluxe resorts, the two cheapest are definitely going to be Animal Kingdom Lodge, which, man, what a great atmosphere that place has. I think a WDW for family favorite in many ways is Wilderness Lodge, also coming in at the, kind of bottom price point. So I think one of the easiest ways to go to a deluxe is just find the cheapest rate and go for it. And those are probably going to be the ones.
Yeah, those are two, like what you were saying, like there are times of the year, and I know that Kristen is going to get into this a little bit, but there are times of the year where the Animal Kingdom Lodge is not much more than a moderate. And so for $400 or so a night, you can stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Now, you're paying $300 and some odd for some of the moderates. So it may be worth it to you to pay another $100 a night to look out your window and see zebras. Now, I'm not, you're not exactly sure which kind of view you're going to get. You can't be promised that, but you never know what room they're going to put you at. But you're definitely going to go in the lobby, the beautiful lobby there at the Animal Kingdom, and you're going to walk out and see the animals. Randy, do you want to chime in?
Well, on some random website, if you believe this website, then Animal Kingdom's average per night is $409. In Caribbean Beaches, a moderate's average per night is $339. So for $70 more a night, on average, you can stay at a deluxe. So it doesn't have to be crazy. In fact, that's how my family got started with deluxes, was we started at Animal Kingdom Lodge, right? Just barely dipping our toe into the deluxes.
But it is a deluxe, and it feels like a deluxe.
Oh, yeah.
And,
it for sure
and
is.
While Saratoga Springs and Old Key West may not totally feel like a deluxe, like you're being pampered like you are at Animal Kingdom Lodge, Animal Kingdom Lodge is a full-on deluxe. And Randy, could you just briefly tell us what's the difference between a deluxe and a moderate? We don't talk about that a lot.
Yeah, so, I mean, generally speaking, all the deluxes are going to have a restaurant on site. They're all going to have a pool that's nice with a water slide. The rooms are going to be slightly bigger. The mattresses are going to be slightly nicer. The decor is going to be slightly more expensive and a nicer decor. They're generally going to have a larger lobby with more decor, and it's going to have a richer theme. There's nothing wrong with Art of Animation theme, but it's not as rich as some of these deluxes are going to be. But more than any of that, the number one thing is location. Is going to be close to something. So your most expensive resorts are going to be on the monorail. There's three on the monorail, three or four, depending on how you count them, on the monorail. And then there's over at, on the Skyliner, there's going to be Riviera. Those are going to be your four most expensive. And then your next notch down are going to be the ones that are walking distance to Epcot. So Yacht Club, Beach Club, and Boardwalk. And then once you go under that, it's going to be the ones that are a little further. So Wilderness Lodge is going to have a boat to the Magic Kingdom. It's going to take 25 minutes to get there. You know, you're going to have at Old Key West and Saratoga, those are going to have a boat to Disney Springs, right? So not to a park, but they are located and they have transportation to a something, right, to the shopping area. So they're all going to have some kind of location advantage.
Yeah, that's the general difference. So our first suggestion for everyone is just look at the prices, price shop. Talk to your travel agent about when to go and where's the cheapest rate. And that's a perfect lead in to what Kristen is going to talk about. So Kristen, give us number two.
All right. So I always tell my clients if they're looking for the cheapest time to go, it's usually spring or summer. This year, from March 25th to June 7th, there's a 30% off. And so you're going to pay moderate prices at most deluxe resorts. So you're going to be able to stay at a deluxe resort for way cheaper than most of the year. You don't get to go when it's decorated for Halloween or Christmas. But if you want to go experience Disney at a deluxe, you need to go when they have deals.
Yeah, and that surprises me to hear you say that spring and summer are the cheapest time. That is mind-blowing. Of course, not during spring break or maybe in the heat of summer, but even more so than like the dead of February or September. That's amazing.
Well, that's when this 30% off is, but there is some – usually there's a few dates in there where they don't offer it, but for the most part, most of those days are cheaper.
And Kristen, I don't know the deal on this one, but oftentimes it's like when they're running those deals, it's 30% off at the deluxes and only 20 or 25% off at the moderates. And so that's another one of those things where if there's only a $70 gap, now maybe we pulled it down to a $50 gap, right? So right. you can start to make the difference there.
I can remember a time where when they were offering the 40% off at the deluxe and paying about $290 a night for Animal Kingdom. And I think that was the first time we got to go to Animal Kingdom because we were like, we were trying to choose between it and a moderate. And we're like, well, duh, we're going to the Animal Kingdom Lodge if we've got that kind of choice.
Well, and when you do some of the free dining things, sometimes that's just at a deluxe or something like that. So that can push it over the edge as well, where the deluxe is, now you're talking it's only $20 more a night. Like it gets to be so close that it's worth doing.
Kristen?
I was going to say, when they did that last free dining, it was the deluxe got the better plan and the cheaper resorts got just the regular dining plan, just the quick services. So it was a better deal to do the deluxe.
I think that we're going to see Disney offering better deals going forward. I think the demand has met the price. And so I would imagine that we're going to see more and more of these deals going forward, especially since the dining plan has returned. So it's a really exciting time to try deluxe resorts. The first suggestion we gave to you was to check out, you know, what's the cheapest of them, which is common sense. We didn't really talk about Wilderness Lodge much in that, though. But, man, we've talked about this a lot. Wilderness Lodge has a special place in all of our hearts on this podcast. I mean, going back to, you know, to Stephanie, to Rusty, all of us love Wilderness Lodge. It's always been one of our favorites. And if you can get there for $450 a night, especially if you can get there in, you know, around the winter time, oof, great, great resort to be at. Great, great place. All right. So, Kristen, let's go back to you.
I was just going to say, today me and my mom were talking and she was talking about how your first resort you ever stayed at has a special place. Because my aunt stayed at, well, she stayed at the French Quarter this time, but she thought it was awesome. We'll go back there. And mom was like, our first was Wilderness Lodge. And we just always gravitate back towards that resort. It's the best one down there in my opinion. But I think everyone should stay there at least once.
Randy.
I'm good.
Okay. You were just fixing your screen there. Okay. All right. My first Disney hotel was Pop Century. I think of it fondly, but I don't always want to go back there. All right. So the third answer, I'll go with mine. And we'll close with Randy's. My answer is a really interesting one, I think. And it's a good way to experience multiple resorts. And that's the split stay. Amanda and I have started doing the split stay a few years ago. One thing we discovered about Disney is that they have great customer service. Who knew? Well, of course they've got great customer service. It's what Disney's known for. So if you decide you're going to split your stay and you stay four nights at All-Star, well, you've saved quite a bit of money staying at All-Star instead of a moderate. So you can take that money and maybe the last two nights of your trip, you stay at the Boardwalk. So you can enjoy walking into the back of Epcot, or you save enough money that you go to the Polynesian and you get to sit by that pool and look at the castle and watch the fireworks, or you decide you're going to stay in the Contemporary. Heck, go for it all. Go big and go in the A-frame and, you know, fulfill that dream of staying at the Contemporary. Any of these resorts that you've always dreamed of staying, you've always passed walking into Disney World, this is your shot. Just stay two nights, and especially if you can go when it's a little bit cheaper and if you can get a deal, stay the bare minimum of time that you have to stay at that resort to qualify for the deal, and then the rest of your vacation, spend it, heck, go offsite if you have to, you know, just to do what you have to do to be able to afford that once-in-a-lifetime experience. We've done the split stay several times. Disney will take your luggage for you. You don't have to do anything. As long as you don't have like liquids or open food or something, they will take your luggage from one resort to the other, and it's really convenient. Brandy.
Well, I was going to say that, you know, another way to do it, if you'll look at the pricing on your trip, a lot of times the weekends are more expensive than the weekdays. So if you could do your weekday, you know, do 2 or 3 days of your weekday at a deluxe, and then on the expensive nights, you're hopping over to the value or the moderate.
Yeah, that's a really good suggestion, Randy, because the price difference is amazing, like $100, $150 some nights at some of these deluxe resorts. Great tip.
But they also go through like seasons where they'll call it summer one and summer two, and the 4th of July isn't just the 4th, right? It's the 3rd and the 5th and the weekend before, right? So it's got this whole extension, but then the next day it might be much cheaper. So you can look at some of that. Your travel agent can help you make sure that you know, they can find out this one night is cheaper than the other nights.
Yeah, these are all great suggestions. I wish I'd known 30 years ago when we started paying for our own vacations to Disney. Randy's probably got the one that I think most of us thought this is probably the most helpful. But before he does, he has another point. Randy.
Well, I just want to make sure that Kevin got a chance to talk about visiting and just kind of hanging out at the hotels. Did we talk about that already? Was I asleep for that part?
No, we were just going to mention that kind of at the end, but we can go ahead and do that before before you bat cleanup. We'll have this one. Okay, Kevin.
Well, I was thinking about this quite a bit. I think so many people have a lot of opportunity to experience deluxe resorts in a lot of different ways by not even staying nights there, but just choosing to visit. That's one of the things that's encouraged by Disney. They are totally fine if you go from resort to resort. There's a lot of stuff to experience and do while you're there. There's a lot of really good restaurants at the resorts that I would highly recommend. In fact, I would say some of the best dining on property is at some of the deluxe resorts. And so checking out that is a really good idea. Many of them have, Todd, let's go to you real quick.
Well, I was going to wait for you till you finish, but the two good suggestions are maybe do a monorail tour. Do a dessert monorail tour where you go around and eat a dessert at Grand Floridian, at Polynesian, Contemporary. Do a progressive dinner on the monorail. They don't encourage swimming anymore. In fact, I don't think you can swim at other resorts at most of them, but you can enjoy those monorail restaurants. Another one is go over to the boardwalk area and walk around the boardwalk. Go to the walk-up ice cream window. Go to the pizza shop. Go to the French fry place. You know, check out what's there at the boardwalk, especially at night at the boardwalk. Sometimes they have street entertainment, boardwalk entertainment, I guess is what you would call it. And that's just a really neat check out. The Abracadabra, you don't have to go in and order a beverage. Just go in there and check out that place. It's pretty cool looking.
They have special like Easter decorations. You can hop around and look at the different Easter decorations. At Christmas time, hop around and look at the different Christmas decorations. You can watch them build. If you're there at just the right time, you can watch them building the gingerbread house over at Grand Floridian. So there's lots of fun little traditions and things that they do that you can jump in on, and you can be staying at All-Star Sports. They don't know the difference.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, before I go to Kristen, you know, each one of these deluxe hotels has a Christmas tree, individual and specific to that deluxe hotel. Those are pretty cool, especially the one at the Yacht Club and the Beach Club. It's really cool. It's really neat to check those out. Kristen.
I was just going to say, the last time we went in December, we had a really rainy day and we didn't have a park planned. And we were staying at Old Key West, but we decided to go over to Wilderness Lodge for the day. And a lot of people don't know there is a Mickey scavenger hunt you can do. And my kids loved it. And you get a button at the end of it. And so we took them and we did the scavenger hunt because it was raining. So we just spent the day a lot of the day in Wilderness Lodge. And so it's something fun to do if you have a day off or if it's raining and you want to hop over to a hotel for a little while.
Yeah, I think most of those hotels have things like that to do. We've done the scavenger hunt ourselves there at Wilderness Lodge. Yeah, fun stuff. Randy's going to give us probably the most inside baseball tip or insider knowledge type tip we can give you as far as this goes. Randy.
All right. So let me, I've stated all the deluxes. I've stated all the, you know, I've stated the ones that are other Disney Vacation Club hotels across the country. And most of the time, this is what I'm doing. So Disney has their own version of timeshare called Disney Vacation Club. All the deluxe hotels have at least a wing of the hotel, sometimes buildings, dedicated to Disney Vacation Club, to the timeshare. And so you don't even know it's there. And they paint them almost exactly the same. They look very similar to the rest of the hotel. Sometimes it is identical to the rest of the hotel. Sometimes it's the entire hotel. We've talked about Old Key West and Saratoga Springs or Bay Lake Tower. They are all 100% timeshare. Now, when I say timeshare, your Disney travel agent can also book these, right? So these are fully bookable, and you can get them through Disney as well. But if you will rent them from a timeshare member, then it will be cheaper. So each hotel has a certain number of points per night for a given category. So let's take a deluxe studio, for example. That means regular hotel room. It's the same size of all the regular hotel rooms. It's in the same building with the rest of the hotel rooms. It looks just like all the rest of the hotel rooms, except you got a queen bed and a Murphy bed that's also a queen. So you have a queen bed and a couch that pulls out to a Murphy bed. So you can still sleep four people. They all have microwaves. They all have little refrigerators. But so they're like basically they're a regular hotel room. They look exactly like the rest. But I can get them much cheaper. So different hotels need different amounts of points. But some of the cheapest hotels would be Boardwalk, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Old Key West, Saratoga Springs. Those are going to be your four cheapest when it comes to points. So let's imagine that you look it up online. You could Google this, right? DVC points chart, Animal Kingdom Lodge. If you did that, you would find that there are many nights where it would be 12 points a night, 14 points a night, 15 points a night. So let's imagine in your time that you're wanting to go, it's 15 points a night, and you can rent the points for, let's say, $13. Then I take 13 times 15. I have to pull up my handy calculator to do that. 13 times 15, it's going to cost me approximately $195 per night, taxes and all, to stay at a hotel that takes 15 points. Now, these are the timeshare points. And so you'll need to find somebody who's a timeshare member that you can rent these points from, and you can Google how to do that, right? You can rent from an individual, which is what I frequently have done in the past, or you can rent, they actually now have professional groups, companies that will be an intermediary. What's nice about the professional companies is that you have some guarantee, right, of your room, and they're professional about it, but you'll pay more than if you rented from an individual. But I have rented points to people I know. Todd Lloyd, for example, I have rented to Todd. And so I am a DVC member, so I can rent my points to other people. And you say, Randy, why would you do that? That's crazy. Wouldn't you just use them yourself? Sometimes I have extra. Sometimes I want to stay at a different hotel because I'm a member at particular hotels. And while they can be used at other hotels, it's sometimes better to rent other people's points. And so I've done that. Sometimes I can rent them to Todd for 15 and I could go get them from somebody else for 13. And hey, that's a better deal for me. So that's how it's done. I have stayed at Animal Kingdom many times for $200 or less. I've stayed at Boardwalk for $200 or less a night. I've stayed at other places, Old Key West and Saratoga, for $200 or less a night. Now, I have rented points at Grand Floridian, and it's great, and I'm getting a fantastic deal, but I'm still paying basically $300 or $400. Like, it's still not cheap, right? But it's a whole lot better than rack rate. It's a whole lot better than Disney's full price would be.
Yeah, I think this is a great option. I think it's a great opportunity because you're generally going to be able to spend, 2/3, if not half, sometimes the price that you would spend going through Disney. And like you said, you're at the same resort, you get the same amenities, the same opportunities. And, you know, I think that, Disney has done a really good job. And just on the DVC side, I will say, for anybody who goes regularly, I think it's worth looking into DVC specifically. It is one of the only timeshares that if you're going to buy a timeshare, it is one of the only timeshares you're going to buy that actually not only retains its value, but is going to be an asset, because it does go up in value, believe it or not. So it's one of those interesting timeshares that's very unique. Disney has figured out a way to do it where if you're going to buy timeshare, it makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, mine has gone up in value, so that's great. I will say, just to get a little more into the weeds, the Disney timeshare is a 50-year lease. So if you get it from Disney, you have it for 50 years. So if you try to wait until you're 49 to sell it, it will be worth very little, because there's only 1 year left of it. So yes, mine has appreciated. I'm not yet close to my 49th or 50th year. So I'm not worried about that yet. But yeah, I will say, if it were me and I were doing it again, I would not buy today. They've changed the rules. They've changed how they do it. The old way is much better. I'm glad I'm grandfathered in. But I would say either way, rent, you do not have to own to rent points from somebody. So you can rent points from anybody. I do want to give one word of warning. When you rent points from somebody, that's a person-to-person transaction, and there is risk there that you could be scammed, right? That someone is renting you points, and they really don't have any, and they're lying to you, and they just want your money, right? So that's never happened to me, but I do need to put that warning out there that you need to be cautious about that. Also, when you rent points, you do not have a travel agent, because travel agents aren't doing this, right? Travel agents are working directly with Disney. So your travel agent, you're not really going to have one to help you with bookings and that kind of thing. So I would say, if this is your first trip, your second trip, your third trip to Disney, I would not be renting points. I would be using your travel agent and trying to find a deal through Disney. If this is your fifth or 10th trip, then maybe you've got enough experience that you know what you want to do and where you want to stay, and you already know where you want to book, and you already know how the app works, and then maybe that's something you could do at that point. I would not at the beginning rent points.
I think what I would summarize what you just said really simply is that your first few trips, you need help. And so having a travel agent is worth not digging into the weeds for deluxe resorts. If you have the money to be able to afford a deluxe resort when you're first going to Disney, you've got the money to afford to go to a deluxe resort. You don't need to worry about trimming $100, $200 off your trip. So as somebody who has rented from a very trustworthy person, Randy Whitman, I got a sensational deal and stayed at Grand Floridian for under $200. Of course, that was a crazy time in our nation's history, the pandemic. But we got a really nice deal and were able to stay at the Grand Floridian, which was a bucket list hotel for us. You did compare the Boardwalk to Wilderness Lodge and Animal Kingdom and Saratoga and Old Key. There's a little bit of a difference there, considering Boardwalk is only about $10 cheaper than Beach Club and Yacht Club.
No, I'm saying the value of the points. So the points brackets are different than Disney's prices. Okay. So now, having said that, Boardwalk fills up very quickly because it is among the more affordable. And Disney has, and it's also one of the early ones. So that was one of the first ones they built. And so the price of the points per night is locked in. And they realized, oh no, we should have been charging a lot more. And so on the others, they do charge a lot more.
I will say, since we've been doing this podcast for the last, 11 years or so, there's not a Disney hotel whose popularity has risen as much as the Boardwalk's has. When we first started going to Disney, the Boardwalk was not a popular, it was not a hot commodity. Yeah.
Well, and it is 60% DVC rooms, by the way.
Wow.
60% DVC rooms. And by the way, I talked about a studio, which is a regular hotel room, but they also have like a one bedroom villa, two bedroom villas, three bedroom villas. And, you know, they have some very nice amenities and we've had some opportunities to try those.
I think the rise of the festivals at Epcot have made the Boardwalk a very adult friendly resort that people want to stay at, the accessibility to the back of Epcot. So I think that's one reason that's gotten so popular. So we've given you some tips on how to stay at Epcot, or stay at Epcot. I'm so confused. I was busy looking at Randy, who wanted to say something again. We've given you some tips at staying at deluxe resorts. Randy, give us one last little tidbit here.
Well, I was just going to say, when Todd went, he has an ability to get upgraded. I don't know anybody else that does this. But Todd was able, and don't use the $200 number, right? This is not, you won't get this for $200. But Todd was able to stay, and I don't believe, a one-bedroom, two-bedroom, something like that.
Yeah.
And at Grand Floridian, and he came back and told me he got upgraded to a suite. And I said, Todd, they're all like that. That's what all of the two-bedrooms are like. That's not a suite. That's normal for the Grand Floridian. And I just say that to say they can be very nice rooms and, you know, outfitted with a full size refrigerator and oven and a living room. And
no,
it can be very
that,
nice.
A television in the bathroom, like yes. A full size television in the bathroom that looked like it was part of my mirror. You just yes. touched my mirror and a TV came on. That yes. was crazy.
They can be very nice.
And we sat, I mean, we had a balcony over the Seven Seas Lagoon, and I just sat there literally from 9 o'clock to about 2 a.m. I sat out there just immersed in the music on the Seven Seas Lagoon and the boats going, and the Polynesian music over there I could hear in the distance. And I just, oh man, I'm going to start packing a bag if we don't yeah. start talking.
Well, Kristen, if you want to know how much it's going to cost, Google, you know, DVC points chart and look at a points chart for any of these hotels. And if you want to know how much that two bedroom villa is going to cost, then just add up those points and multiply it by maybe $15 a point, something like that. And you'll find that those big, nice rooms, even with the deal, even knowing the secrets, they're still not cheap. All right. I mean, they're very expensive, but it can be a great opportunity for someone who's been to Disney before, who knows what they want, and are able to get a discount that way.
All right. I think we're done. Are we done, Kristen? You done? We're good?
I think so.
Okay. Well, Kristen was looking at me like I may have something else to say, but she doesn't. All right. I got to tell you, we started doing the split stays and going to deluxes on the back end of our Disney marathons. So what we'd do is during the week, we'd run our races and we'd get up early. So we didn't really need to go anywhere fancy because we're just sleeping a lot. And so once we're finished with the races, we reward ourselves with staying at a nicer hotel. And that's been a really neat thing for us, getting back from the marathon, packing our bags, going over to a night, or letting Disney pack our bags. Well, they don't pack it, but pack our bags, let Disney take our luggage to a deluxe, and then really enjoying our last two nights. I think all these are great ideas. I hope you get to stay at a deluxe just to check it off your bucket list in your Disney career. And remember, you're never too old to wish upon a star.